You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Child's play!
I will avenge you, my bulby brethren. Who would dare?
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the lone roller skate at the base of villainy's staircase. I am Darkwing Duck!
Playtime's over!
And I gotta get a shorter intro.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 11, Beware the Buddy System. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
And I'm just going to state right out here that this is quite possibly my favorite episode that has come out this season so far. And I'm not just saying that because of, you know, OMG, Darkwing's in it and Gizmo Duck and nostalgia and all that, but it is actually a solid episode from story to animation, character development. It hits all of the points right off the bat.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy, what an episode.
There is a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Cool. Well, do you want to jump right into the episode?
Let's do that. Yeah. Let's go right into it.
So here, I'll give the episode description. Brilliant young scientist Fenton Crackshell Cabrera is recruited by Launchpad, who is feeling menaced by tech genius Mark Beeks' newest invention.
Now, that's not exactly how I would describe this episode.
Yeah, that's definitely, that sounds like Gizmo Duck is a little bit more, has a little bit more agency in the episode, and I think it's all, as is the case with Gizmo Duck in a lot of instances, quite accidental. just kind of happens. But so this episode aired on May 11th, 2018. It was written by the series creator, Francisco Angonez, and directed by John Aoshima. So I think that that's really notable that the episode that has the first appearance of Darkwing, as well as the first appearance of Gizmo Duck, was written by the showrunner, right?
It's no surprise. If you follow him on Twitter or Tumblr or stuff, he is a big Darkwing fan. And we knew that something like this was coming up.
Yep.
And there we go. Yeah. And he did a great job. I would also like to point out that even though we don't say it in every episode, the storyboard artists are credited in each episode, and I really need to give them a shout out for this episode in particular, because just the pacing, the staging, everything was so good, and that's a result of really great storyboard artists. So the ones that were credited in this episode are Benjamin, I'm going to butcher some of these names here, Benjamin Ballastieri, Evan Freeman, Mark Garcia, Tanner Johnson, and John Ramirez.
Yeah, and so obviously this episode is notable for two things, right? First appearance of Darkwing Duck, voiced by Jim Cummings, of course, and the first appearance of Fenton Crackshell Cabrera, also known as Gizmo Duck, voiced by Lin-Manuel Miranda. two very, very big. It's amazing to me that they decided to do both of these introductions in one episode. Because I think that it's very obvious in this episode that both of these characters are going to be quite influential in storylines down the road. The Darkwing Duck stuff, they're obviously setting something up for later. And we heard a little bit about that from Jim Cummings a few months back.
Yep.
And obviously, Gizmo Duck will be a recurring character. And,
oh, yes. I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah. So let's get into our top three moments. Should we start with the big one?
Oh, yes. Definitely. The show opener.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it that this is the way it opened.
Yeah.
With Darkwing Duck, Saint Canard, and not just that, but three of the bad guys. We got the signature catchphrase and everything. It had more of like a modern action sensibility to it. They played like there were still comedic moments, but they really played up the action and gave it this really slick, sort of almost, you know, Batman the Animated Series kind of style to it. That explosion out of the bank screamed, this is a Bruce Timm kind of explosion.
And the purple gas from the gas gun sort of creeping in around them. And as all good Darkwing should have, it was full of great comedic moments as well.
When
he knocks out the lights and then Megavolt runs over and he's like, I will avenge you. It's just start to finish on the Darkwing segment is perfect. And then intercut with Dewey and Launchpad. It just kind of makes it that much better. Cause the dynamic of, I really love how they have, they've established this in universe as its own thing, and that Launchpad is very clearly obsessed with this character of Darkwing Duck, and they've set him up as the Adam West Batman of Duckburg, right? That setup to me, I just think is really clever, it's really smart, and they're going to be able to do some really cool stuff with it, not to mention the fact that they establish the actor who plays Darkwing Duck, Jim Starling, and that is very obviously setting up an episode that'll be coming later on down the road, whether it's this season or next season, and I think that that's going to be just a fantastic adventure when we get there, because what we're going to get to see eventually is Darkwing, the actor who plays Darkwing Duck, joining in an adventure and Launchpad being his sidekick, right?
Yep.
And I don't know, I think that it's very possible that we could end up seeing the Thunderquack in an episode like that.
Yeah, we got a brief look at the rat catcher in this one.
We did, yeah, very, very brief. Yeah, but they nailed it, and the other two villains that were featured in the sequence were Quackerjack and the Liquidator.
Yeah.
The Liquidator didn't speak, which is unfortunate. Liquidator is probably one of my favorites.
He's my favorite too, out of all of them. He got very few episodes out of all of those villains in the original series.
But he has such a great setup that he's a used car salesman. That's why he's called the Liquidator. Man, it is amazing that all these years later, because it is a very long time since Darkwing Duck was recording new episodes, that these voice actors, now one of them, we'll talk about that when we get into the trivia. One of the voice actors is not one of the originals, but the voice actors that did Darkwing and Quackerjack, not missing a beat at all. If anything, the performance on Darkwing was a little bit better than it ever was in the original series, because it just had a little bit more of that seriousness. And I think that was direction, right? I mean, I think, like you're saying, there's a little bit of that Bruce Timm Batman animated series vibe in this. And I think that they're setting it up. This is basically the Disney animation version of a backdoor pilot, right?
Yeah.
And between this,
so. Man, life.
Between this and then what we're expecting from an episode coming up later this season with some Sky Pirates in it, there's a very real possibility that they could be setting up a three series block of episodes of TV shows that are all
interconnected.
Airing. Yeah, and wouldn't it be great for them to actually bring back the Disney Afternoon brand?
Them
moving it to Disney Channel, I don't know, I feel like that might be part of something like that, but they're also moving towards the streaming platform. It's really hard to tell what Disney is up to right now, but we could probably go on and on and on about Darkwing Duck all night. And
I just want to say one more thing is that I was watching this with my boys, and I did not tell them that Darkwing Duck was going to be in it, and they went nuts.
Yeah.
They were so happy. They were like, I thought we were watching DuckTales. Like, it was that good. It fools everybody.
Oh, you know, Kara is 20 months old right now. And she loves DuckTales. Like, we've watched a few episodes together. She loves the show. She especially loves the theme song. But she was instantly taken with Darkwing. And she's at this stage right now where she latches onto names really, really fast. And because Darkwing has his whole build up to "I am Darkwing Duck," right? Like,
yeah.
It just, like, it seared into her brain, and she was just like, "Darkwing, Darkwing," the whole night on Friday. Or actually, I guess the whole day on Saturday.
Have you shown her the original show?
We haven't watched. That's the thing, is we haven't watched any of the original. Now I have a few of the toys around, right? Especially because so many have been coming out lately. So she's definitely, she's seen the toys, but I don't know, like, we haven't really, like, we don't play with them, obviously, because they're my toys. but I don't know, she may have heard the name a couple of times, but we've never watched it. Actually, maybe that's not true. Might have tried to watch the first episode a while back, but I think she was too young. But she just, like, instantly was enamored with all of those characters. And then, I mean, we went on to watch the rest of the episode, and she was, I think, equally as excited about Gizmo Duck. And she really likes Launchpad, and she really, really liked, Gyro. Some reason, she just really liked Gyro.
Okay.
Yeah. So she quite enjoyed this episode.
Well, let's keep on going.
Yeah.
What is another one of your top three moments?
The Gizmo Duck transformation sequence, as well as all of his yes. gadgets. The transformation sequence was so good because it was very 1980s cartoon, but there was a little bit of Sailor Moon in there.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It was a very anime sort of sequence there. Absolutely.
And I loved it. And I also love how the pieces went on, but then some of the pieces kind of transform after they're on him, right? Like the bottom piece with the wheel goes on, and then the shocks, like, kind of pop out, and then the wheel comes down, and there's just so many, like, sort of secondary actions going on in that transformation. It just feels like they really, really put a lot of time and care into it, and I'm wondering if every time we see Gizmo Duck, we'll see this in a very anime Power Rangers sort of fashion. But it was just so well done, and then it was awesome because that was such a great superhero action moment, and then it was immediately undercut by all of his gadgets, many of which used alliteration in the names, like pectoral parachute and gluteal grapple.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's awesome.
I've watched that sequence a couple of times. So yeah, I just think that they updated Gizmo Duck, but they didn't change anything, right? Fenton's a little bit different. He's a slightly different character. Not slightly. He's a very different character, I think. But Gizmo Duck himself, the way that Gizmo Duck is, in particular in the DuckTales cartoons, would show up, try and be heroic, but oftentimes kind of be a little bit slapstick in his heroics. When he was on Darkwing Duck, he was much more confident and a little bit more
arrogant.
Yeah, but they were kind of trying to play that against Darkwing, so it's a little bit of a different dynamic. I've always looked at it, because Darkwing happens after DuckTales, that he's been Gizmo Duck for a while and now he's good at it, right? Obviously the first couple times that he puts on the suit in the original series, it's very accidental and sort of trying to be a hero, but kind of succeeding in spite of himself. And they definitely did that here as well, to the point where you can kind of get the sense that Fenton isn't wearing the Gizmo Duck suit as much as the Gizmo Duck suit is wearing him, because it's kind of doing its own thing and it's a little bit on autopilot.
Yes, that's true. It'll be interesting to see when Fenton begins to get more used to it and uses all of the tools and figures out how to effectively be a crime fighter.
Yeah,
I felt like it was if you took the bumbling out of Inspector Gadget, you'd have this Darkwing here, because it's a different attitude than, like, if you took the bumbling out of the original Gizmo Duck.
Yeah,
you'd still have an insecure person or whatever.
Yeah.
But Inspector Gadget's got all the confidence. He's just kind of clueless.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What was your next piece?
I mentioned this before, but I really want to say that we had some great animation. It was a Snipple that did the animation in this episode, and I believe they did the pilot episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene that I loved the most was the scene where Launchpad's trying to get Gyro to help him by saying, you know, I've got this friend, let's call him Not Launchpad.
Yes.
And goes through this big long story and stuff, and it's just a static shot of Launchpad's face, and all the acting is in his face and in his hands, and it is so good.
Yeah,
it's so good. They get the nuances and the movements, and there's one part where he's like, he has this reaction. He's like, what? Uh-huh. And he's like moving his hand in his head, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
The whole episode was great.
I definitely noted that scene as well, as just really stand out, especially the moment towards the end when he's kind of done his explanation and he goes, in this scenario, you're still you. And he kind of like you said, like, it's a static shot and Launchpad's not moving that much at times. It's really a lot in his face and in the way he's sort of emoting. And Dewey is standing next to him, and Dewey's kind of reacting and kind of like moving out of the way sometimes. And they really nail it. And then in the action sequences as well, when Launchpad flips the limo towards the end of the chase sequence, in order to block Gizmo Duck, it's so well done to the degree that the physics of the limo make sense. Like, it has such a weight and volume to it that the way that he kind of jerks it over, goes up that ramp, and then stops short skids it, and then it flips. Like, there's nothing cartoony about that moment. It really feels like that car is flipping through the air, and then he just kind of nails it. And one of the other great moments is when he's parking the car earlier in the episode, and there's just this great element to this character, to this version of the Launchpad character. Launchpad in the original series was, a lot of it was happy accidents. This Launchpad, although he may crash all of the time, and there's definitely happy accidents to do with this character, when he's driving or when he's flying, he's in his element. And like every landing is a crash, and every parking job is kind of a bit of a crash, but they're also perfect, right? It's like, yes, he's flipping the car around, and Dewey is just losing his mind. He's like, we're gonna die, and the car just flip right into the spot, like just perfectly right into the spot. And Dewey has this moment of like, did you just do that? Like, it's yeah, it's just so good, because they just really sell that he's a complete and utter buffoon in all things except his zone of competence, right? So it's like, if he's behind the wheel or behind the yoke, like, he's good to go. And I just love that, because it's this great, I think that there's, we talk about this with the original series and with this series, one of the spirits of it is that there's always lessons to be learned in each of these episodes. There's a moral to every single one of them. It's not just nonsense. And I think that the end of the episode, my last of the top three moments, is a really great example of this. The payoff at the end with Scrooge, because the whole time Launchpad is really just like, what's more important to him than anything is the acceptance of Scrooge. He just wants Scrooge to be proud of him, whatever that is, you know, like he's maybe, you know, sees him as a bit of a father figure, or, you know, this authority, or he just wants his admiration for whatever reason. It's super important to him. And at the end of the episode, he actually gets it. Like, he's like Scrooge's, he's gonna buy a fleet of these robot self-driving car sort of things, and he's like, oh man, this is gonna increase efficiencies, it's gonna be the greatest. And Launchpad's really threatened by that, but then at the end Scrooge has the line, I don't think this is an exact quote, I think I'm paraphrasing this, but Launchpad's like, well, you still want me to be your driver? And Scrooge is like, yeah, of course I do. Where am I going to find someone as crazy and dangerous as I am?
Yeah.
And it's that, that along, there's some really subtle stuff. When he gets in the car, he hits the Darkwing bobblehead, and you know, obviously Darkwing says, let's get dangerous. And then right before the race, he puts the bobblehead in the glove compartment.
In the glove compartment to keep it safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and like there's an element there of, it's like that's who Launchpad is. That's why he's Scrooge's personal driver, right? It's because that's his attitude is, let's get dangerous, right?
And right. It's not he's intentionally like when you're talking about happy accidents and stuff, yeah, like when he gets behind the wheel, he makes a conscious effort to actually be reckless.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Scrooge needs somebody that can keep up with him in that respect. And I just thought, yeah, that was so great. Launchpad tries to rip the license, and Scrooge is like, I think you better keep that. It is.
Yeah. Well, Scrooge has the practical side that Launchpad doesn't. That's, yeah, the difference between the two, yeah, of them, I guess.
But it's just such a great lesson in understanding strengths and weaknesses, right? It's like, not everybody is great at the same things, but that doesn't mean that they're less valuable. Right? Launchpad might be a goofball. He might be a bit of a doofus, and you know, he definitely crashes everything that he drives or flies. I mean, he crashed roller skates in this episode. But at the end of the day, Scrooge sees the value in who Launchpad is, even when I think, like, we're with Dewey and we're kind of in Dewey's position the whole time. We want Launchpad to succeed, but we kind of think that in order for him to succeed, he has to be something other than what he is, right? He has to be better than Launchpad. And by the end of the episode, it's like, no, like, what, like, why would you change? You're perfect exactly the way you are. Like Scrooge is keeping you around for a reason, and he trusts you with his life. And how much better how much more acceptance and sort of approval can you get than that, right? So yeah, I just think that that's a cool. The lessons are not, they're not in your face, and you got to think about them for a second. But for kids, they internalize that stuff, right? I mean, I know we've talked about it before on previous episodes. I like these shows, Disney Afternoon and Batman and Spider-Man and all these shows, like. The lessons that you learn from watching them, you internalize, and they kind of define who you are if you're as into them as you and I are, Curtis. So
yeah,
it's sure. Really great to see that spirit is still there. And I honestly think that aside from all the great jokes and the animation and everything else, the reason why this show is hitting so well with the audience, with both the adults and the kids, is because they do, like, I think that people subconsciously pick up on that there's merit to the show and that there's actual value in the content that you're watching. It's not like Adventure Time, where a lot of Adventure Time is kind of silly, and then, you know, every once in a while they'll hit you hard with an episode that means something, right? Every one of these episodes so far has had a good moral to it.
Yep. So. Yep. That's true.
Cool. What's your last part?
Well, this one's actually kind of a surprising one for me. Mm-hmm. My last favorite moment in this one, I really like the characters of Gyro and Mark Beeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the previous episode, I was not impressed with Mark Beeks in that first one. And I really wasn't impressed with the new Gyro at all in that other one, The Great Dime Chase.
Yeah.
And but I really liked them both in this one. I think playing off of each other was so good. But I don't know what it was. It's just I thought that they were excellent. They were well defined characters. They added a lot to the episode. They were both funny in their own way, and I guess I like the fact that Gyro looks completely different, so I can differentiate him from the original Gyro. But it just shocked me how much I actually enjoyed those two characters, and I'm looking forward to seeing them back again.
I especially liked that last moment with Mark Beeks.
Oh, yes.
Where we're starting to see the villain come out a little bit
more. And that, maybe that was it too, because he was an undefined character sort of in that other one. But this one, we get a real sense of the lengths that he will go to in order to, promote himself or to make his company better. So the corporate espionage, I think this is going to be a lot of fun, what we're going to see from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. How about some behind-the-scenes Easter eggs for this episode? There's quite a few, actually. This one was kind of riddled with them, right?
There were so many places where I was expecting to see some, like, little hidden messages or something, like on the windshield with the post-it notes, or in Fenton Crackshell Cabrera's washroom stall office or something like that. But I didn't actually see anything there. I saw a shush bulletin board. Or billboard, I mean, in the Darkwing Duck sequence. And it had a big picture of Grizzly Cough. One of the shush, you know, the shush grizzly bear that's in the Darkwing episodes. His face was on the billboard. It just kind of like Darkwing's flying by and you're focused on Darkwing. So you don't actually see it in the background unless you're paying attention. But it's there. So hopefully we will see some shush action. And one of the things on Webby's conspiracy board is a mention of Fowl, which is Shush's arch rival. So we have mention now of both of those elements.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they play off of each other, if they do.
Cool. Well, we've got some of these other ones. We mentioned Darkwing's alter ego earlier, the Jim Starling. And I don't know if this is confirmed anywhere or anything like that, but some people are speculating. Obviously, Jim is coming from Jim Cummings. I think that that's probably pretty obvious. I think that's a pretty good guess on that one. And then the other connection people are making is Sterling Holloway, which there's a connection between Jim Cummings and Sterling Holloway.
Right? A big one.
And that
very big one.
Jim Cummings voices a lot of the characters that Sterling Holloway classically voiced originally. So characters like Winnie the Pooh. So Jim Starling being Jim Sterling. Just sort of a kind of a play on that. I think that's pretty solid. I think that might be the case. Especially because because it's the actor playing the character of Darkwing, and I think that Darkwing's voice is very much modeled after Sterling Holloway's voices, his voice work that he had done. So I think that's a really cool sort of shout out that they're hiding in there. That's really just there for the hardcore fans, I think. The really, really old school Disney fans. Not a lot of the kids know that they probably just think that Winnie the Pooh is Winnie the Pooh. but Jim Cummings, we've talked about it before. Jim Cummings is a billion characters and characters that you wouldn't necessarily think are connected. He's so talented.
Yeah.
He's got such a great range to his voice. But to me, he'll always be Darkwing Duck first and foremost. And then right after that, Hondo Ohnaka from Star Wars.
okay. He's bonkers to me.
Yeah.
That one, I love that voice there. Okay, so another one here is the plot of this episode seems to be loosely based around the classic DuckTales episode Armstrong, in which Gyro builds a robot that is supposed to replace a lot of Scrooge's, you know, his limo driver, his butler, his maid, and all this kind of stuff. Then Launchpad challenges him to a race to see who is better, who can think, in the moment and that kind of thing. And Launchpad loses, and then Armstrong goes crazy. And so a lot of that same stuff, there's no Gizmo Duck or anything like that, but the plot seems to borrow heavily from that classic episode, Armstrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. Cool, and then we mentioned earlier that some of the original Darkwing Duck voice actors reprised their roles, obviously Jim Cummings, and Michael Bell reprised his role as Quackerjack.
Yes.
But Megavolt is actually voiced by Keith Ferguson, who's standing in for the original voice actor, Dan Castellaneta, also voices Homer Simpson.
I wonder if he's just too expensive to get to be in the show now.
I honestly think Dan Castellaneta does not do a lot of work these days other than The Simpsons. Right. So I think that's because like Jim Cummings is all over the place, right? And lot of these other voice actors are they're all over the place doing all sorts of things. Like I mentioned, Jim Cummings is on Star Wars. He was on Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. But Dan Castellaneta, I mean, when you're Homer Simpson, it's possibly one of the most recognizable cartoon characters in history. With a signature catchphrase with about three or four signature catchphrases. And I think that they pay him, they don't even count it in like a dollar amount. It's how many dump trucks they can fill. Is how he gets paid to do that voice at this point.
He probably has a money bin as big as Scrooge's.
Exactly.
By now.
Yeah. So,
but let me tell you, Keith Ferguson did a spot on Megavolt.
I honestly, until I looked it up, until I looked into it, I honestly thought that was Dan Castellaneta back as Megavolt.
Me too.
It's not just, this is the thing with voice acting, and any voice actor will tell you this. It's not just about being able to copy the voice, the sound of the voice. It's performance, right? I mean, you're a voice actor. You have to become the character to a certain degree. And Megavolt, probably one of the most iconic Darkwing villains, if not the most iconic Darkwing villain, I think. I think he's certainly probably in the most episodes. That's anecdotal. I haven't actually looked that up. But
next to Negaduck.
To my recollection, Megavolt is in a lot of Darkwing Duck episodes.
Yeah.
And in ensemble episodes, like when Negaduck gets everybody together, Megavolt tends to stand out a little bit more than everybody else. So that's a character that there's a lot of reference, which is a good and a bad thing, because it means that that you can look back at a lot of reference if you're doing a performance as that character, but it also means that that people are going to be very familiar with that character.
We're the most familiar with his character out of all of them.
Yeah, and man, oh man, does he nail it in that, what, two lines? It's so good. It's so, so good. But this whole sequence, you could just tell, it just oozed with that care and attention that, I think everybody who was working on it was a fan and wanted to do it justice.
Now, if you looked at the credits, Corey Burton is credited as the voice of Buddy, the robot, but also the voice of the Liquidator.
Interesting.
And I went back and listened, and Liquidator doesn't have any actual lines.
Does he laugh?
He screams when he is electrocuted.
Ah.
And so that's Corey Burton, apparently.
Corey Burton, another prolific voice actor.
But not the original... not the original Liquidator. Jack Angel, and a very classic and old voice actor, who I think is still alive, but he's got to be pretty old by now.
Yeah.
He was the one who did Liquidator in the original series.
And Liquidator has such a iconic voice. It's so good. Yeah. Cool. Anything else that you wanna run down before we move on?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. So Buddy. Mm-hmm. In this episode, Buddy is an acronym. And do we know what the acronym stands for? Did they actually say it in this episode?
It's really stupid. It's like the last three letters don't make sense. It's like the Y is yeah. I don't remember what the rest of it was,
I remember that.
Yeah,
now.
You can tell that Mark Beeks is just kind of pulling that out of his derriere.
Now, Buddy really reminds me, and I don't know if this is actually true, but he really reminds me of the classic, there is a Hanna-Barbera Fantastic Four TV series in the 70s. Yes. And in that show, for some reason, and we're pretty sure, there's a rumor that it's because a kid set himself on fire, but it's actually because the rights to the Human Torch character where it was somebody else. They couldn't put the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four cartoon, so they replaced him with a robot whose name is Herbie, and it's an acronym as well. Herbie, Buddy, Herbie, and the design of Herbie
very similar.
Looks very similar to Buddy, with the head that has the monochromatic digital display that shows his face on the top, and very boxy, and I wonder if it's a reference to that character.
That's interesting. I think you might be onto something there. Because now that I think about it, I can picture them side by side. When you wrote Herbie in this rundown, I read that and I was like Herbie the love bug?
No,
Herbie from Fantastic Four. Absolutely. It's a very similar appearance. But totally. The reveal towards the middle of the episode that it's actually a Bulb Tech robot. And then it turns evil. I love how it was doing fine until we found out that it wasn't Mark Beeks's technology, and then it turns out that it's actually
I love how there's an underlying theme of everything goes evil eventually anyway, so it's just a matter of time that this one's going to go evil, and sure enough it does. And that's the thing about Gizmo Duck, is that he's not a robot.
Yes.
So he's not going to go evil. There's something to play with in the future there. I think that Frank Anganez is a huge fan of 80s movies. Obviously, he grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
And because he's doing this TV show and he has so much care and attention to it. But I spotted three references to 80s movies in this one episode.
Okay.
One of them is at the very opening. Now, if you've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, one of the best scenes is when these guys, they take the Ferrari and park it in a garage, and these guys are supposed to park it for them, but instead they take it on a joyride. And there's one scene where in slow motion they take it, they jump over this hill, and the car lands, and then there's a close-up shot of them in the windshield. It's exactly the same, exactly the same as when Launchpad is and Dewey at the very beginning of the episode are driving the limo, to the point where I went and watched Ferris Bueller to check to make sure, and like the when the car's coming down and you see the underside of the car. That background that they've drawn in this DuckTales episode is exactly the same as the background from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, with the fence on the side and everything like that. Like it's definitely a reference.
The only thing the reference was missing was the Star Wars theme, which there's a really interesting little tidbit about that. If you're ever watching Ferris Bueller on TV, there are certain edits of it. I think the TV safe edit with the curses censored and stuff.
Yeah, it has very poorly censored.
Yeah, it has the music replaced because they, I don't think they had the rights to it on TV for the TV safe edit. But on the Blu-ray version, it's the Star Wars theme as the car flies over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which they could have done because, you know, they're all under the same roof now.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, but I think they probably didn't want to put a reference inside a reference on a different TV show entirely. That's kind of, it'd be a little bit weird. It's referenception.
The other, one of the other references I saw was a reference to Spaceballs. In the car, what's it called? The Waddle vehicle?
Yeah, I think so.
That Herbie is driving, there is a setting to go to ludicrous speed, and it says ludicrous speed. Mm. But ludicrous speed is famously in that scene where they're going to jump to light speed, but Darth, what's Rick Moranis' character?
Dark Helmet.
Yeah, Dark Helmet. Yeah. Dark Helmet's like, light speed's too slow. We'll have to go straight to ludicrous speed. I love Spaceballs. That one's a great cult classic for sure. Last one, I'm a big Weird Al fan, and I know that movie backwards, his movie UHF.
Yeah.
When there's a scene where Weird Al's karate buddies are all hiding in a closet, and when the guide opens the door, like it says supplies, it's janitorial supplies. It says supplies right on the closet, and the guy opens up and they all yell, supplies!
Yes.
And Launchpad opens he's saying, surprise, surprise, and opens up a supply closet and says, supplies. And I have to wonder if that's a reference to UHF.
That's awesome. I hope so. I hope that's a reference to UHF because that makes the show even better. UHF, that's a heck of a movie.
It sure is. All three of those, like, there's some great 80s cult classics referenced in this episode here. So good job, Frank. I want to see more of that.
Awesome. Well, maybe they'll get Weird Al to come in and voice a character at some point. He is that already on Disney Channel. So
that's right.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they thought of this one.
Hello, this is the Junior Woodchuck Podcast. We're going to talk about Beware of the Buddy System. So, Milo, what was your favorite part in the episode?
When the kid, when Dewey was watching Darkwing Duck.
My favorite part was when Gizmo Duck came to save the day. It was really cool. Because this other person got gizmotized or something, and all this like armor gone on him, and he turned into Gizmo Duck. So he saved them, saved Louie and Launchpad. That
Launchpad was first driving a car, then driving a motorcycle, then driving a bicycle, then using roller skates, then one fell off and the other one the wheels broke when he was almost to the finish line.
And he didn't win the race.
He didn't!
He didn't win the race. What was the funniest part? Because my funniest part was when Louis was watching the TV show and...
I don't have the funniest part.
And then Darkwing Duck is like... Like, after his catchphrase, he was like, I really need to get a shorter catchphrase. Because all the villains already got away. So Darkwing Duck chased them. That's funny.
I don't have a favorite part. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so that is all in our podcast. Tune in next time for the Junior Woodrucks podcast. And next time, we will be watching DuckTales again, but I don't know which episode. So, bye. Bye. Milo, can you say bye?
Bored.
Erase that, Dad.
Do we have any fan mail this week, Mike?
We do, actually. We have a comment on a Facebook post. And here we go. Let me just bring it up. This one's from... I'm sorry. I'm gonna butcher your name, I think. But Masiek? I think that's this person's name. For my money, best episode since the pilot. Well, maybe House of the Lucky Gander is as good. I adore how deep they added to Launchpad. The action scenes were great, and I love the new take on Gizmo Duck. It felt like the old DuckTales to me 100%, and overall it was plenty of fun on every corner. Even Mark Beeks, who I didn't care for in his debut, felt like a much more interesting bad guy, and I like what direction they're taking the character. 10 out of 10, more like this one, please. So yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that one. But I think that this next batch of episodes is going to all be a little bit more on track. I don't know if that's...
Well, they've gotten rid of they've gotten all of the character development out of the way now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, each one of these early episodes was focusing on one character. This was obviously the Launchpad episode. We're going to get a Beakley episode coming up pretty soon, which we haven't actually seen her character in a while.
Yeah.
And then after that, yeah, we can start doing some more creative epic storytelling because we don't have to introduce all of these characters now. We can just have fun with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a little bit of full steam ahead, and I think that's, I don't know, it's really interesting why they took as long of a break as they did, but I think
we're not even halfway through. This is episode 11.
Yeah,
we still have over half of a season to go.
Yeah, exactly. So, lots more to come, I'm sure. More Gizmo Duck, more Darkwing, and certainly more Scrooge, Launchpad, the boys, and everybody else. So, yeah, I'm excited. Let's give this one a rating.
This is a very easy five lucky dimes for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, same here, five. So that's a full dollar. So you're gonna get your money's worth on this one. I think. Yeah, this is one. I mean, like, I've watched, I think, most of these episodes more than once, but this is one that whenever it comes up on my PVR kind of randomly, I'll probably pop in and watch again. Because it's full of such great moments. It nails every aspect of this new series that I want, which it's got Darkwing Duck, it's got Gizmo Duck, and it's a Launchpad centric episode. It's just fantastic. They did such a good job with it. Cool. What's our update on our episode ranking over on Twitter?
Well, we had some close calls here, except for the very bottom, the bottom entry.
Yeah.
Came in at 6%, Impossible Summit of Mount Everest. So unfortunately, that one's getting the boot this week.
Okay.
Spear of Selene, the new episode, came in at 22%. Great Dime Chase at 33%, and still at number one is House of the Lucky Gander with 39%.
That is so interesting to me, because I don't know. Like, I mean, I that episode's all right. I think if you went back, I probably gave it a favorable rating, but I wouldn't kind of hold it up at this high a level. And man, Impossible Summit only getting 6%.
Yeah, you loved that one.
The launchpad stuff in that episode kills me. I mean, if you go on our Facebook page, every opportunity I get to make a joke about snow blindness, I do. So it's funny that I don't know. I guess I'm here for different stuff, I think. But
well, it'll be interesting to see how House of the Lucky Gander stacks up against this episode, because I've got a feeling that this is going to be a very popular one.
Yeah, I think so. I think that if anything's going to unseat House of the Lucky Gander, it's going to be the 1-2 punch of Gizmo Duck and Darkwing Duck.
I think so.
That's kind of hard to compete with.
So head over to Twitter. We are at Toon Afternoon.
Yep.
And you'll see our Twitter poll already running.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, the next episode, the next one coming up, is The Missing Links of Moorshire. Dewey's natural golf abilities challenge Scrooge's ego, while a seemingly innocent mystical golf course leads the group into trouble. I love the way that that's written. A seemingly innocent mystical golf course, because so many mystical golf courses are obviously fraught with peril, but this one is seemingly innocent.
So yeah, why not play around golf then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mystical golf course. The way that it's written with the commas, the thing that's notable is not that it's mystical, but that it's seemingly innocent. so funny. Awesome. Well, I guess that's it. That's it for this episode.
It is. Boy, this was a good episode.
Yeah, more of this, and I'm not going to say less of the other stuff, because everything's been great so far. But just you know what? More Darkwing. In fact, just take that Darkwing part, just pull it out entirely.
Stretch it to 22 minutes.
Stretch it to 22 minutes, and just give us 24 or so episodes of that. And and I'll be a happy camper. And you know what? Maybe even Launchpad and Gizmo Duck can go over there from time to time, and be shared between the shows. But
not sure how they'll do that
if they're running at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll have to see.
We will have to see. Awesome. Well, that's it for this one. So thanks for listening, everybody.
And we'll see you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/toonafternoon, as well as on Twitter at toonafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at toonafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.